So I apologize before I even get started. I'm tired and emotional. Those two things don't go very well with me. My wife comes back and says, I'm emotional. I'm like, just keep moving. So it may have something to do with this is the first Mother's Day in probably 15 years that I will not be eating morel mushrooms. So for 15 years, we found morels and we eat them on Mother's Day. I'm just kidding about that, but not really. I'm going to jump right in so I can... All right. Title of the day is, Who's Your Mother? So, turn with me to Galatians. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 21. Verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one of a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he that was of the bondwoman was born of the flesh, and he of the free woman was born of a promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. And Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, breakest forth, and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are a children of promise. But as then we are born not after the flesh, but as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born of the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, saith the Scripture, cast out the bondwoman for her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So the title of the message this morning is, Who's Your Mother? Are you of the flesh and of the law, or is your mother of a promise and setting you free? And so you can't choose your mother, your earthly mother, but you can choose your spiritual mother. So Galatians, I've been reading Galatians, and the whole chapter, the whole book of Galatians is that Paul had preached to the church of Galatia and gave them the gospel. And the gospel is free gift from God through Jesus Christ, our freedom in Him, that not by works, but what Jesus done for us, that was the gospel. But the old church was coming in, and after Paul left, they were mingling with them, and they were saying, yeah, well, let's just, I agree with what you guys are doing, happy with what, but we need to probably still get circumcised. So the whole book is this argument of, are we free from the law, or are we in bondage? And so this whole subject of freedom in Christ, freedom in Him, and works is this whole thing that I have struggled with my whole life. Are we to do works? Are we free? Is it not of works? How do I manage this in my life where I have God's grace telling me there's no requirement on me, but yet I feel like there's a requirement on me, right? I mean, is anybody else wrestling with this? So I'm even today, I'm not telling you by any stretch of imagination that I got this figured out, okay? What I'm telling you is This says that I am a child of the free woman. So what is a free woman? So a free woman is a product of God's work, not man's work. She could not have a baby. Not only was she barren her whole life, she was beyond barren. She was beyond childbearing years. Like, it was impossible for her to have a child. It had to be the work of God, not by work of any, it could not be of any, it had to be a miracle. So the promise, the freedom that comes to us is a miracle. When we look at it, it's not possible. It's not possible that God could see me as free and love me in the state that I am, because when I look at me, I say, I'm barren. I'm not good for you. I have nothing to offer you. I can't reproduce. But he's saying, it isn't about you. It's about that I need access to you, and that through you, I can do miracles. It is about being controlled by the Spirit. So we are controlled by, we are so in tune with our flesh, the law, and I'm trying to distinguish between the free woman and the bond woman. I'm going to be cross the circles here. But to be controlled by God is the ultimate goal. Is that he wants to come inhabit us and show us this freedom that we'll, I'll get to as we're going down here. So the free woman is, she is of God's work. She is promise. She's controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit is what brought life in her womb. It wasn't anything natural. It was the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead caused a baby to form in her womb. And it says in here that she was, oh, desolate woman who cry out in your travaileth, whatever it says. I've got it all jacked up, but you know what I'm talking about. You have more children than the woman with a husband. I don't know what that meant. Like, I could not get that figured out. It's pretty obvious when you get it figured out. But she has more children than any woman ever that had a husband. You know why? Because you're her children. Because through that promise, through that miracle baby Isaac, the seed line of Jesus was born, which allowed us to be entered into a covenant with a God who wants to set us free. And through that woman, her children, her seed was like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the sea. You know who the sand and the stars are? They're you. They're us. They're generations and generations of people who believed on the word, and by believing on the word, we got to become family with Adam or Abraham and Sarah through that promised child. And without that promised child, we're not here today. So, in that freedom of a mother's promised child, because it's not based on works, it's based on what he did, there's real, true, unconditional love. There's real, unconditional love in this freedom of this woman, this free woman, as you're her child. The love is not conditional because the love's not based on anything that we did, she did, or Abraham did. It's based on what he did. Okay? And it's through grace. Complete grace. Which means it's unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. And our actions prove we don't deserve it. But he did it anyway. He gave it to us anyway. Now, on the contrary, the slave woman. Slave woman, rules and laws. Was the law bad? God forbid the law was bad. The law was righteous. It was a picture of who Jesus was. But we couldn't do it. We still can't do it. It's bondage. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Does anybody in here want to be told what to do? Does anybody here like rules? Brenda, you like to be told what to do? It is in our DNA to be free. Like, the law was constricting. The law measured and said, you know what? You're not measuring up. You're not good. Before the law, there was no, the people were running rampant because there was no measurement of what was right or wrong. So the law comes, and it was a guardian. Guess what comes with the law? Conditional love. Because of the law, it's a measurement program. If you measure up to here, then the love's conditional. And we were having Bible study this week with Anna, and Anna's like, my parents love me. But it would ultimately come to conditions if she come home and threw a rock through the front window every night she got home. Like, hey, Anna, don't do that. I love you. But she comes home, throws a rock. Before she knows it, she won't be living there. You understand what I'm saying? There's an action where there's a point where even us, who I love my children, if they just continually, it doesn't mean I stop loving them, but the love gets conditions with the law. It's based on works. It's based on what I can do. And so it has condemnation. Whenever the law measures you and you don't measure up, guess what comes? Condemnation. This is the thing that the God's trying to free us from, the list of things that I'm giving you. We get critical of others. When the law gets used on us, we use it on other people. Do we not? We're looking around and we're saying, hey, according to this, you suck. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't be like that. Shouldn't say suck at the church. See, you're all doing it to me right now. The law just does nothing but tell you you're falling short. That's all it does. It just tells you how wretched you are. It just is constantly in your face telling you that you're falling short. Okay? Who's your mother? I promise you, we all have some law. We all have some Ishmael living in us. Some little Ishmael living in us that is trying to bring law. Okay? It's not by works. So should I ever read my Bible? Should I pray? Should I be nice to people? Hold on a second. How can I be not by works, but I need to do all these things? How can it not be by works, but I shouldn't do these things? I'm not giving an answer because I don't have one. I'm telling you that I'm going to give some scripture to give a little bit more insight into it, but it's a struggle. That we are free in Christ. So free that when Paul preached the freedom, people would say, you're just saying people can do whatever they want. You're just saying, oh, just go do whatever you want. Guess what? The Spirit of God on the inside of you never asked that question. Because the Spirit of God is focused on God, not on what I can get away with, what I can't get away with, what you're doing, what you're not doing, what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. You understand? This is a focus issue. This is about where we're looking. We're constantly measuring based on the law. We have got to cast that Ishmael and her mother out because we will not experience true freedom until she's gone. She's not allowed to live here. And you have to renew your mind for that to work. And I'm trying to renew my mind for that to work. I'm trying to understand, where is this Ishmael wrecking me from the freedom that God has for me, that he wants for me? He's the one that wrote down here and said, hey, she's not your mom. She is. The free woman's your mom, not Hagar. Why are you letting this Ishmael mock your grace and your freedom that I'm trying to give you? Do I understand this? No, I'm telling you. I'm working it out. There's a freedom in Christ that he wants us to experience. It's in everybody's DNA to be free. What does the Bible say about freedom in Christ? I'm just going to read you some scriptures, some quick scriptures here about this. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the Son set you free, you'll be free indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are called to freedom, brothers. Only use your freedom for an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. There is a huge, listen, that was of 100 freedom scriptures. I just picked out 5 or 6. The beginning of freedom is understanding God wants you free. This book is full of this word freedom. He wants you free. Why? Why does he want you free? Multiple reasons. He wants you free because it's his Father's desire that you not be in bondage. We all can sit here and analyze ourselves and know there's some bondage in our life. I'm telling you, your dad, your heavenly Father, does not want you to be in bondage. He doesn't want me to be in bondage. So the beginning of getting free is understanding He doesn't want you in bondage. And if he doesn't want you in bondage, then there's some provision for you to get out of where you're at. And it won't come by works. It'll come by promise. It'll come by miraculous. It'll come by faith and acting on the things that are inside of us, saying that my God wants me free, therefore I refuse to live in bondage. I refuse to live a life where this is constraining me from being all that God wants me to be, and has for me. Okay? Everything I've said, a lot of you probably already know. I've lost my spot here. All right. If you're in bondage, you can't bear fruit. So, whatever area you're in bondage, there's no fruit there. The law was not put in place to constrain you, because God's up here saying, I want to control you to do what you... He's setting you free so that he can bear fruit through you. He wants you to use your freedom to choose him. And when you choose him, you walk in the Spirit. So, just so you're not confused about what I'm saying, turn to James. Chapter 2, verse 14. True faith, evidenced by works. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man saith he hath faith and doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him nothing, those things which are needful to the body, what do you profit? For even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest me that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There's a difference between faith and believing. Do you think the devil believes in God? Is he going to heaven? He stood and talked to him. He knows him better than you probably. He's going to hell. Okay? Keep reading. Where did I stop? Okay. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac up on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see how works, that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Okay? Is it by works? Sounds contradictory. I could take you to where Paul wrote and said, it's not by works at all. But this says that your faith without works is dead. Okay? So how do you reason that? How do we reckon that? How do we get that to? Whose works are they? They're faith's works. They're not your works. When you're in faith, there'll be works. That's how you know. Faith is not a believe. Faith is not belief. Faith is acts. God told Abraham, go kill your son. And he got up and got wood and loaded the mule. He didn't go load the mule and so he could get faith. You can't produce faith by works. Faith has works. God was acting through the faith. So when you actually have faith, you have God's faith. Faith is a person, it's Jesus. He's trying to live through you. So when you think about this, you think, okay, Pipey. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. But when you focus on the Spirit of God, just as the brazen serpent, remember the story about the brazen serpent in the Old Testament, they're all getting snake bit, okay? And there was nothing they could do. They were going to die if they got bit by the snake. But God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it up on a stick. And if they would just come out and stare at that serpent, what would happen? They would be healed. It wasn't by works. It was by focusing on the answer. The Spirit is where life is. When you go read Romans, therefore is not, no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Hagar's flesh. If you're living from your flesh, you're a kid of Hagar. When you live from the Spirit, you focus on the Spirit. It's not about what you do, but it's about what He did. Our righteousness is in Him. And what He did, He fulfilled the law. And He did it to set you free from yourself. He said, look, I got to put a system together that if I can get your mind over, you can't screw it up. Because it ain't got nothing to do with what you're doing or not doing. It's what I'm doing and want to do through you. And if you just give me a little bit of vessel to work with, I'll install faith in you and then I will do work through you. I will do it. And we can't get it through our thick skulls, including myself, that I have to go do something to make that thing happen. I just need to stare at that serpent. Focus on the righteousness of Christ. Then you start reading in here. It says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all the things. Take no thought. We are consumed, including myself, with my body, what I'm doing, not doing, what other people are doing, not doing. It's the devil's trap. It's the devil's lie. The devil wants to keep you under the law. Because if he keeps you in bondage, he reduces fruit. At the end of the day, the message here is, God wants you free. He's gone to great lengths. It wasn't free to him. The freedom we're talking about wasn't free to him. It costs a lot. And when we stare at that and meditate on that cost, it doesn't make you want to go sin. It doesn't make you want to ask the question, well, hey, man, by golly, there's a lot of grace there. I think I'll go take advantage of that and do a little bit more hot rodding on the weekend. It doesn't. The Father knows by setting you free by grace that if you can comprehend that, the more you study that, the more you look at that, the more you understand that, the more free you'll be and the more available you'll be for Him to do His work through you. And it truly is this, in a nutshell. God is spirit, okay? He expanded into the physical realm. We talked about this in the kingdom of God when I preached the kingdom of God. He expanded into the physical realm. He's not physical. God can't come in here and sit in a chair. But He can in you. He can in you. He's inhabiting us. The kingdom of God is, in essence, a flesh creature controlled by God so that He can come be who He is through us. That's why it's important to understand who our mother is. Because the other mother is not allowing that to happen. And we all have Hagar's in us. We all have this bondage. There's some level of bondage in us, and it's some us, and some the devil, and some our circumstances. I get it. But understanding it, understanding that the Bible says that God has set us free, and He wants you free. If He wants you free, there's provision to be free. And I have bondage in my life. I'm not standing up here saying I don't. I have lots of bondage. This is encouraging to me because my dad wants me to be free. I just got to figure out what that looks like. So, stand. I didn't beat Scott's record, but I was close. First Peter, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. You're free. You're free to do whatever you want through the grace. God wants you to take that freedom and be His servant. You can't screw up this with your actions. I promise you, you can screw up this with your actions. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are beneficial. Meaning, between God and I, all things are lawful. I can do whatever I want, but I don't, and I won't, because it's not beneficial. Like, there's consequences horizontally, but not vertically. Galatians, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's two different scriptures where God's saying, let me love through you. Let me be who I am through you. Take your freedom and give it back to the one who gives freedom so that He can work through us, so that He can love others through us. He's taking your excuses away. By removing you, you don't have no excuse. He's removed your excuse that I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. Nope, I took care of that. I have removed your excuse. You are my vessel. I have purchased you. I have redeemed you. I have saved you. You're mine. Surrender. Be a child of Sarah, not of Hagar. Scott?
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
It's no longer I that lives. It's Christ who lives in me. Lord, help us experience your freedom. Lord, loose the bonds of bondage on us. Teach us, Lord, how to be who you need us to be. Lord, let us be vessels for you and your love. Amen. You're dismissed.